just for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. Way over there near the end of the Bible is the book of Hebrews. Tremendous book. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 36. Alright, you looked at it? Some of y'all need to get caught up on your Bible reading. Here's you a good chance to read some. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. I want to preach this morning on the subject, why Jesus must return. Why the Lord must return. There's two different philosophies in this world this morning. One of them is, get all you can get and enjoy life because you're going to be dead soon, that's it. The other is, there's a life after this life, so what we do down here in this life is not as important as what we're going to be doing in the next one. According to the Bible, Jesus is, will, and must return. Now, 218 times in the New Testament, we're told that Jesus is coming back. The signs are everywhere. The signs are everywhere about the Lord coming back. 218 times. I'll say more about that in a minute. But it's like all the old religions in the world are expecting a Messiah. The Jews, right now, they don't believe in the New Testament. An Orthodox Jew, right now, does not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They are still looking for the Messiah to come. So what's going to happen when the Lord comes and takes us out? The Antichrist is going to come, and they're going to think it's the real Messiah, and they're going to make a pact with Him for 7 years. That's the future. Now, I know they don't know that on TV because they don't read the Bible. They're going to make a pact with the Antichrist for 7 years. Israel is. They're in the middle of that 7 years. He'll break that covenant and turn against them. That's when the mark of the beast will be implemented on the right hand or on the forehead. All of that's coming in the future. Now, with the whole world this morning is expecting and looking for somebody or something to come. Even the people that don't believe in Jesus. I study a lot of stuff about signs, and I'm very, very interested in what's going to happen in the future as a preacher, and I'm intrigued, really, by this study of the ancient alien theory. You say this stuff they have on the History Channel now about ancient aliens. You know what? They are indoctrinating the world. They are indoctrinating the world to believe that aliens were here back thousands and thousands of years ago, and they told those people we're coming back. That's how they built the pyramids. That's how they built Stonehenge. That's how they built... They got stones in some of them things as long as from here to that wall over there weighing 100 tons. 100 tons in a perfect square. And they didn't have nothing but little hammers and rocks as tools. And they moved some of them things hundreds of miles. And so the only explanation is that they had help putting those monolithic, those mega structures together. Like those walls and stuff they built. They built these walls built in some of those countries that are up on top of mountains, and the stones in them things fit. They fit better than these. You can't stick nothing in between them. But they're as big as this choir. And they say, how in the world did those ancient people with no machinery, no cranes, no anything, get those things lifted up? And they say that in Stonehenge, for example, that there's a presence, like you can feel some kind of electromagnetic field around some of these places. That's why rock groups go in these crop circles and make videos and stuff, because there's a presence, there's some kind of a power inside them. Now, what we know in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were gods, little g, And the Bible said in the book of Genesis that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they crossbred with humans, these supernatural beings, and they produced giants. That's another way they got them things built, is there were giants in the earth in those days. They just discovered some giant bones. I got up in Minnesota or somewhere just recently. They had a TV special on it. They'll never put them in the Smithsonian Institute, and they'll never tell you that in high school or college because it contradicts evolution. And anything that contradicts evolution will not be allowed to be taught to us. It's a brainwashing technique that the cult of this world uses to keep us from the belief in the Bible. Now, those monolithic stuff, great big humongous buildings built, and you say, well, they had hundreds of thousands of slaves. Don't count on that. Those hundreds of thousands of slaves, you can only get so many hands on something. If you had 100,000 people to work on this building this morning, they couldn't have any even touch it. They can't. There's something else going on. There was another power and a higher power helping them. So what we know it was, according to the Bible, it was gods in the Old Testament or demonic spirits embodied in human flesh. Now they believe that the ancient aliens are getting ready to come back. You see how the plot's unfolding? The whole world believes, let me tell you something. They believe that the way we got here is that another race of aliens from another planet, this is very popular now, it's what's going to be taught everywhere pretty soon. They believe that we were put here by another planet or another race and that we were seeded on this planet and they come to observe it. So when somebody sees a UFO, they are observing their little experiment down here, us. And that's what abductions and stuff are, the experiment. Now, that's the truth. That's what's going on. And what is really going on is they are not coming from outer space. They are coming from down there. The Bible said the pit opened up and there came out stuff out of that pit. Bible said there's going to be stuff like lamps falling out of the sky during the tribulation. And the Bible said like a third part of the stars are going to come down. And the Bible said there's going to be lights flashing all over the place during the great tribulation. So what's getting ready to happen is Jesus is going to come back just like that. He's going to take His children out of the world. Then great delusion is going to come on the population of the world. And these people are going to land and they're going to say, we are from Orion, the planet Orion, and we planted you here 60 million years ago. And now, since we got rid of the religious fanatics, we can come back and go on with our program. And they're going to say, yay! Because strong delusion will settle over them. That's what's fixing ready to happen. You say it sounds like science fiction. That's how come them science fiction films were made. To condition us and to get us ready for what's coming in the future. You say, Brother Danny, that's the craziest thing ever. No, sir, you mark my word, brother. That's in the book and it's coming to pass. Now, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be up there with the Lord, enjoying the things of God in heaven. When all of this is going on, you say, well, preacher, that will never happen. It sure will. It sure will, just as sure as your name's what it is. The Lord is coming. All the way in the Bible, the devil's got a counterfeit for everything God does. In the Bible, when God met Jacob, when he went to sleep on the pillow of stone, he set up a pillow at Stonehenge. He set it up like that. And he said, that's where God met me. Every time God met with them, they erected these big pillars up. That's what the pyramids are. There was something happened there. You know them pyramids? You can take the land mass of the world and put it out flat like that, and them pyramids are right smack dab in the middle of the whole mass of earth land on this planet. Do you realize this morning that they have found bones, skeleton bones, of a man's thigh bone from here to that piano reaching 10 and 12 feet high. And brother, we are seeing what the Bible says. They've never found anything contradict this book. They've never found anything that proves the Bible wrong. And you know what this book says? This book says Jesus is coming back. He's coming just as sure as you live. You know what? I want to say a few things about it this morning. And the first thing I want to say, Jesus must return to fulfill the Scripture. There's a lot of Scripture got to be fulfilled. And it is not possible that one verse of Scripture be left unfulfilled. The Bible said in John 14:6, Jesus Christ said, "If I go, I will come again." Now, He don't lie. He said, "If I go back, I'm coming back down here." He said, "If I leave, I'm coming back." And He left, so He'll be back. Our preacher used to say this. He said, when I go, and I go to the Father, I will send the Comforter. He said, He must have got back all right, because the Comforter is here. And the Comforter is here. The Lord said He's coming back. And the Lord said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be of the Lord." Here's the way it's going to be. It's like, now you see me, I got, now you don't. I mean, just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You say, "Well, I'm tired of this old world, preacher." I got good news for you. The Lord's coming back, and the signs are everywhere. I'm tired of it too. I like that old man one time. They said, you know, if you live here so long, you just realize this old world ain't what it's cracked up to be. That old man, woman one time, somebody went to interview them. They'd been married about 75 years. They was about 90, 95 years old. They'd been married about 70-something years. And they're about both deaf. And they looked at that old guy. And he said, what do you think about her? And they looked to him and he said, "She's tried and true." And the old woman looked at him and she said, "What'd you say?" He said, "You've tried and true." And she looked at him and said, "What'd you say?" And he got right over in her ear and said, "I said you tried and true." She looked back at him and she said, "I'm tired of you too." That's the way we are in this world. That's the way you get in this world, you know. You just get tired of it. I mean, you just get tired of fighting the devil. You get tired of fighting with the family. You get tired of fighting the flesh. You get tired of it too, amen. But guess what? About the time you think we ain't going to make it, the Lord's going to come from heaven and call us out of here to fulfill them prophecies of them Scriptures. That's right. I want to say the signs are everywhere. They are everywhere. Now, the way you know you're getting close to something is signs. If you took off right now and you was going to Atlanta, I guess you could go up there to, you could go down here to 64 and drive down there to Rutherfordton, down to Chesty and hit Interstate 85. Now, you wouldn't see one sign for Atlanta going down 64. If you got on 85, you'd probably drive maybe a little bit before Greenville. I think maybe somewhere around Greenville, you start seeing a sign. It'll say, Atlanta, 169. Thank you, Einstein. He's got a modern map in his head. He's got a GPS in his head. But anyway, 169. Is there something in that thing? Oh, there's. I didn't know what was in there. There's a baby in that thing. I thought someone was going to bite me. They say 169 miles. And you might drive a little way, and you don't see no Atlanta sign. Then you go a little bit farther. Atlanta, 151. You go a little bit farther. Atlanta, 132. Then you go a little bit farther. Atlanta, 99 miles. Then you go a little bit farther. Atlanta, 82 miles. But I'm going to tell you something. When you start getting close, it's Atlanta, 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 Atlanta. Be here, eat here, sleep here, here, go there, motel, restaurant, business. There's so many signs you wreck trying to read all of them. You can't read all the signs. Just bum, 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 bum. When you're way off from it, there ain't hardly no sign. When you get close, they're everywhere. That's the way we are the coming of the Lord this morning. That's the way we are the coming of the Lord. You know, years ago, there'd be an earthquake. People say, well, there's going to be an earthquake back in the 1800s. And 1900, even 1950, when something bad happened, well, that's a sign of the time. Listen, it's 2013 now, people. It's like blam, 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 blam. I can't even tell you. I got a newspaper article right here. I'll tell you. You think we're not seeing a bunch of signs? Right now. This little article right here said a Texas student had to change school district, 15-year-old girl, because the fighting the use of a tracking badge in the San Antonio High School is asking a federal court to keep her on campus. The school district has issued all the kids have to wear a tracking device. a badge with a computer chip in it to keep track of everybody, to keep law and school. You know what that is? Bam! Bam! That's a sign, brother. Well, I remember preaching that 25 years ago that they're going to put a chip, some kind of mark on you. And people said, oh, it's a long way off. We're not a long way off. We're there. It's happening in our country right now this morning. And the Bible didn't say the Antichrist will put a mark on your hand. He said He put it in it. In it. Your Bible said, in the hand, under your skin. And nobody will know if you got it or not till you go to buy or sell something. The Northside School District equipped 4,200 students this fall with mandatory ID badges. Mandatory, not optional. The school shooting we had up here in Connecticut the other day, our heart breaks for them people, but every time something like that happens, it just kicks us in another gear. Getting closer. It's already, they're already talking about the president overriding Congress, overriding everyone, saying, we're going to do this. That's dictatorship on its way to this world. Amen. I tell you, when they outlaw guns, the only people who have guns is outlaws. When they outlaw guns, the only people who have the outlaws, and we'll be in more dangerous shape than we're in now. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. We're near the end. Sophomore Andrea Hernandez has refused to wear the badge, and the district court said she had to change school district if she don't comply. Amen? Think about that. Atheists have now petitioned President Obama to leave out "So help me God" out of his inaugural address here in January 21st. That's a week after this. They're saying, they were joking to him and they said, when you stand to perform your oath, do so using the language of the founders. Eliminate the religious verbiage. While you're at it, put your hand on the Constitution instead of a Bible. The attorney Andrew Sadel wrote in a letter. The words "so help me God" are not supposed to be in the oath. We are the future. Use the second term to build a legacy by rejecting the way this country politicizes religion. What they're saying, no God. We don't want God. That's them signs hitting you in the face. They're everywhere, every day, every time you turn the news on. One school district in Butte, Montana had to pay $70,000 attorney fees so the valedictorian could not use the word God in her valedictorian speech. They paid $70,000 for an attorney to keep God's name out of the valedictorian address. I'm telling you, our society is headed for a godless system. We don't want no God. Homosexual marriages are now legal in so many states, and it's coming down the pipe, and there's nothing we can do except hold on to what we've got. Keep getting them bus kids in here. Preach to them. Get them all saved. And save, and so come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of here. It's a prophecy, brother. The signs are everywhere. I want to say also, the Lord's going to come to fool the devil's plan. To fool the devil's plan. You know the devil's got a plan to ruin this world? The devil, somebody asked me, they said, Danny, if the devil knows that the Bible's true, and the devil knows that God's stronger than he is, why does he keep fighting and pulling Scripture? And the answer is this. The devil is so crooked that he still thinks he can win. The devil somehow or another thinks, I can still beat God. And that's what he's doing. He's trying everything in his power to defeat God. You know there's a movement on in this country to keep our population down. They want to control the population. You know that, don't you? You know, God said, be fruitful and multiply. And now what they're saying is, there's too many people. You've never seen them Georgia stones? There's you something to look up on the internet. Those Georgia stones blow your mind. Big, gigantic stones, like that's America's Stonehenge, right down there in North Georgia. And a big one. And they put in them, keep population like 500 million, something like that, under a billion. And that means, let just a few people enjoy the world and get rid of the undesirables, or keep them from being born. Peter Singer, they say, is the most important philosopher in the world today. Let me give you a quote from his book. Quote, if our planet has a finite capacity to support human life, which means we can only handle so many people, it is better to have fewer people living longer lives instead of more people living shorter lives. One reason for thinking it better to have fewer people living longer lives is that only those who are born know what death deprives them of. Those who do not exist cannot know what they are missing. So he said, in other words, just don't let nobody else be born so we can enjoy all the lobster and steak and the beaches and everything and get rid of people who are called undesirable. Quote, you ain't going to believe this. Quote, from the book Practical Ethics. This is what no God produces. When the death of a disabled infant, a baby with something wrong with it, will lead to the birth of another infant with better prospects of a happy life, the total amount of happiness will be greater if the disabled infant is killed. See the direction we're going? If somebody's got something wrong with them, just kill them. That's the direction it's headed. You don't believe it? The loss of a happy life for the first infant is outweighed by the gain of a happier life for the second. Therefore, if the killing of the hemophiliac infant has no adverse effect on others, it would be right to kill it. So if you happen to be born with something bad wrong with you, you're undesirable and don't deserve to live. You know what's coming after infants, don't you? Old people. And brother, when they get to that, and of course they'll change their doctrine when they get old, but it'll be too late. The joke's on them. The signs are everywhere. You say, are they succeeding in that? Sure are. Did you know that birth now is for the first time ever? Lower, for the first time ever, we had fewer than 4 million births in this country last year. First time it's ever been below 4 million, 2011. And I hate to say it like this, but the births we have, well, a lot more illegal immigrants and people from other countries, so that in a few years, all the normal American people are quit having kids, and the immigrants are having kids. We're going to be overbalanced like this in a few years. And in other words, in a few short years, me and you's going to be the minority in this country. And the devil's plan, and I'm not against anybody coming here. I don't care what color, I don't care. It don't matter to me one bit. But the devil is trying to fix it so that everybody's dependent on the government to take care of them, so that we're dependent on the government so the Antichrist can step in and take over. I'm going to tell you this morning, the Lord's coming back and taking us out of here. I don't know about you, but I just say, sooner the better. Come on, Lord, get it over with. Free His people from death's sting. You know what stings worse than anything in the world? Dying. You know what people dread more than anything? Dying. You know what the Lord's going to do? We're going to cheat death. Now, if the Lord don't come, the death rate is 100%. You know what science has done to change that? Nothing. You say, well, they've made great scientific discoveries and they kept somebody alive. Not forever, they don't. You wouldn't want to live forever in this mess, I hope. I said that famous queen one time, her wish was granted that her prince would live forever. And her wish was granted, but she forgot to ask to keep him young, and he kept getting older and older and older forever and ever and ever. And they said the worst curse you can possibly imagine would be to live in this world forever. That'd be the worst curse imagined. Can you imagine having to stay here forever and ever and ever and fighting and fussing and killing and sickness and disease? That's the worst curse you can imagine. So the death rate's 100%. For every person that's born, that man dies. You know what education's done to fix that? Nothing. Science? Nothing. 100%. So look, what's going to happen? You know what they're offering now? Have you heard? Scottsdale, Arkansas. In Scottsdale, Arkansas, they are now offering for $120,000. When you die, they'll take your body down there and freeze you just real quick. Put you in, and they're putting some of them in a capsule, shooting them in outer space, everything, so they won't decay, and freeze your body. Then, in a few years, when science has all the answers, they can thaw you out and fix whatever, put a new heart or new, get rid of your cancer or whatever, and hook the jumper cables up to you and turn something on and you'll come back alive. Oh, you think that's crazy? There's many, many people already signed up for it. $120,000, they'll freeze you, and in a few years, bring you back. That's the hope of this world. That's what they got to hope for. Now, you think I'm going to give them $120,000? Look, you know they ain't going to thaw you out. Would you? I mean, you know, here we're 30 years from now. They're going to say, well, what are we going to do about all them people? Well, they'll never know the difference. We got enough people here to take care of. They ain't going to thaw you out and fix you. What a fool, man. Do something like that. For $50,000, they'll cut your head off and just freeze your head at Scottsdale, Arkansas, and they'll cut your head off and freeze that so that whenever they figure out how to fix whatever kills you, they can make you a new body. And that's the hope of this world, and they make fun of us for believing what we believe. I don't know about you, but my mama taught me there's a God in heaven and there's a hell to shun and a heaven to God. And brother, I ain't found nothing that'll beat this old book right here. I ain't found nothing this world's got to offer that brings more comfort to my soul, that brings more hope to little children, that helps our loved ones on their deathbed. I'll just stick with the old book and say, come on, Lord, I believe you're coming back. That's the best thing we got to believe in. Well, 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 ain't that something? To break the devil's stronghold, the Lord's going to come. Woman in Wisconsin, Annette Rodriguez, 34 years old. The other day was sentenced to two life sentences for homicide. She took a 23-year-old girl and cut her stomach open to take the baby out of her stomach. Same thing abortion doctors do, except do it legally. And she went to prison for murder. So she cut her stomach open, and the woman died, and the baby died, and they got her for two murders. Two murders. If you kill a woman baby while it's still in her, it's murder. That's what our court system says. We have killed 55 million since Roe versus Wade, 1973. 55 million. Legally. And doctors getting rich off of it. You think the devil ain't busy? There's some people right here in North Carolina wanted choose life on their license plate back a few weeks ago, and the court said no, they won't let them do it. They will not let you put choose life on your license plate here in North Carolina. It is something. Why would anybody be against somebody that says choose life? Because you see, it's not pro-life and pro-choice. There's no such thing as that. It's pro-life, pro-death. See, we believe in letting it live, they believe in killing it. It's pro-life, pro-death. There's no such thing as pro-life, pro-choice. That's a bunch of bull that a bunch of news media crooks thought up to deceive the public. Now, you're talking about this sharing the wealth and socialism and all that. By the way, you know what Karl Marx did for a living, don't you? Karl Marx, the man who started communism, he was a journalist. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't a politician, he was a journalist, he was a newspaper reporter. That's what brings socialism in. The last thing I'm going to say this morning, I'm done. The final punishment of sinners. I'll tell you something this morning, if you knew how short your time was, you'd run in this altar and you'd say, God, have mercy on me. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you would be up here saying, God, help me, God, help me. I was coming home from Florida a few weeks ago, and I flew from, Orlando. I flew from Orlando to Atlanta, and then I was going to fly from Atlanta to Charlotte and come on home. And we were sitting down there in Florida, and the plane, something happened. Something was wrong with the plane. And you know, you're sitting there and it's full of people and it's time to go. And you know, I know I had to catch that next plane. And they said, now it's going to be a few minutes. There's some problems in the thing. And there were some people sitting over here saying, oh, good night, I've got to hurry. Let's go, let's go. I was sitting there thinking, you know, I'm in a hurry too. But if there's something wrong with this thing, let's fix it. I ain't in that big a hurry. I can hang around a little bit if there's something wrong with the plane, can't you? And I said, well, I hate it, but let's just get this thing fixed before we leave. How about that? I like Phil Kidd. He'd get on there and he'd say, this is a non-smoking flight. And old Phil Kidd would get on there and he'd say, this is a non-drinking flight. He'd tell the pilot, this is a non-drinking flight, ain't it? Because he didn't want to be up there, some pilot had drunk. But I don't want to be up there and one tore up. So we got there and we was flying and I kept a lady beside me, she was flipping out. She was saying, I'm going to miss my flight. I'm going to miss my flight. And I said, well, it looks like I am too, ma'am. It looks like I am too. I'm going to be, I don't know what time I'll get home. And I was in a hurry. And I knew that I was probably going to miss that flight. We landed in Atlanta. Atlanta's the busiest airport in the world. And I'm telling you, Atlanta, it ain't like, well, I get off of this one and I run over here and get on this one. Your next one might be, Lord, it might be from here halfway to Hickory. I mean, that's how big that place. You ride buses and get on under subways and everything. A whole other section, like Delta, will have a section and a section. It's bigger than Marion, that one section. So I thought, well, Lord, maybe it'll just work out that I don't have to change a concourse and I'll be able to get on my plane. And when that thing was landed, I had my bags and I stand back here in line. You can't get off. You got to wait on everybody else. And I had my bags and I was like, yes. And buddy, when that opened up, I took my stuff and I ran up through there and I looked up on that screen. I said, 257 words. It's at gate Sunday school. I got to go. And I run down here and I found my gate. And brother, they'd done said, last call for flight 257 Sunday school, Charlotte. And I said, I gotta get on. And I barely got on that thing. And I was sitting down and the woman was already talking. We was taking off. That thing was pushing back. I went, phew. Thank God I made it. And you know what? That's the way this service is this morning. We're getting ready to pull out, people. You better run. You're not ready to meet the Lord this morning. I wouldn't take a chance of going out that door. Run! This thing's pulling out. We could leave today. The Lord could come today. He could come today. I've studied the Bible for 35 years. I know some of the greatest Bible teachers in the world personally. There's not one verse of Scripture in the Bible that has to be fulfilled before Jesus could come today. If you're here and you're not right with God, I wouldn't go out that door for $1 million thinking Jesus might come and leave me behind. Run to Him. Let's stand our head for prayer.